The Skagway Borough Assembly delays action on a letter to White Pass and Ada and a proposed paid family leave policy. And as Alaska's population ages, some seniors choose to grow old at home. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. The role of the Port Commission, paid family leave, and discussions with White Pass were just a few of the topics covered at a Skagway Borough Assembly meeting that stretched almost 4 hours Thursday night. Skagway leaders are thinking about asking for Lieutenant Governor Byron Malott's help in moving along port discussions between the city and the parties that lease and sublease the municipality's ore terminal property. Skagway lobbyist John Walsh said he met briefly with Malott to say they may ask for his help.
What I would be looking for is him helping us begin the dialogue in a manner that's appropriate to all parties. And then it's up to us to advance it. Mm-hmm. Also, some people might not want to be at the table. He has a little bit higher level of presence than a particular commissioner or a particular sub-agency. So I think that would help set a tone.
The municipality is working with a tight time frame to leverage state grant funds to clean up legacy contamination in the ore basin and renovate the port. Officials have been corresponding with White Pass to try to tackle that discussion. White Pass sent the municipality a letter this week saying a major issue needs to be resolved first: the cooperation and commitment of the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, which subleases the ore terminal property and owns the ore terminal facility. Mayor Mark Schaefer drew up a letter to send to White Pass and Ada proposing a meeting in April. But the assembly did not approve it Thursday, partly because the group only had a few hours to review the letter before the meeting. Here's Assemblyman Steve Burnham Jr.
I didn't have time to look at it thoroughly until this conversation then just occurred.
Another reason the assembly chose to delay the letter is because of another letter the mayor plans to send to the State Department of Environmental Conservation. Schaefer said the letter would summarize what the borough sees as discrepancies in communication from DEC about environmental violations at the ore terminal. The assembly also chose to delay action on a paid family leave resolution. If the personnel policy revision is adopted, municipality employees would be entitled to 6 weeks of paid family leave. The proposal to implement that benefit came from Assemblymember Jay Burnham. Assemblyman Spencer Morgan asked if there are other Alaska cities that have this kind of policy. Borough Clerk Emily Deitch said she had not heard from any other Alaska clerks with similar policies.
And I also looked at, I was told that California has a paid family leave program or require employers to pay for leave. But what they're talking about is like sick leave, which we do already.
Deitch said the only example she could find was from Austin, Texas. Steve Burnham Jr. pointed out that other countries around the world have paid family leave requirements. The U.S. is just behind on that front.
So progressively looking at this is something that other countries are doing for their employees to improve their quality of life. So it definitely at least deserves some further attention.
The assembly members seemed open to the policy, but they referred it to the Civic Affairs Committee for review before adoption. Some of the most heated comments of the meeting were in response to a proposed ordinance revising the code that governs the Port Commission. The changes further clarify the commission's role as an advisory board to the assembly and manager, and the assembly's power over the commission. The changes were recommended by Borough Attorney Bob Blasco. Port Commission Chair Tim Borsi objected to the proposed code revisions, which he said would muzzle the commission.
I think it's fairly clear that you guys really don't want the Port Commission.
Assembly members Tim Cochran and Spencer Morgan also spoke against the ordinance. Here's Morgan.
I would prefer to let them do their job to the best of their abilities and not take away their abilities with this ordinance. I mean, to me, this I'm just bummed out I couldn't have got this ordinance in paper form so I could use it to start my wood stove with.
But Steve Burnham Jr. said the intent of the revision is to clarify the Port Commission's role, which he doesn't see as a problem. He suggested sending the ordinance to the commission and asking for their input. The assembly voted 3-3 to pass the first reading of the ordinance. Mayor Schaefer broke the tie, voting in favor for the sake of sending it to the Port Commission for comment. The assembly will have a second reading and public hearing of the ordinance at its next meeting scheduled for April 7th. Some Southeast Alaska families have stayed with the tradition of helping their loved ones age in place. They live at home with children and grandchildren instead of moving into assisted living or a nursing home. It's a lower cost option for older residents of the region whose numbers are growing faster than the state as a whole. As part of Coast Alaska and KHNS's Aging Southeast series, KFSK's Angela Denning tells us about one Petersburg family with four generations living under the same roof.
I'm Elizabeth R. Tyner. I'm 91 years old. I'll be 92 in a week or so.
Elizabeth Tyner sits at the kitchen table in a red striped shirt, blue jeans, and blue Crocs sandals. She readily talks about her life. Over the decades, she's sold auto parts and worked at a thermometer factory.
What it was doing was putting the ink in there. It really wasn't ink, it was mercury. You shook the stuff down where it went up and down in there so you could tell the temperature.
Her granddaughter, Melinda Cook, is ready to fill in the details. When Tyner first moved to Petersburg in 2011, she lived in independent housing for seniors. She shared a two-bedroom apartment with a friend for $1,400 a month. Cook says that worked well for several years until one day her grandmother fell.
She laid on the floor for 4 hours.
Tyner eventually called the family, which contacted 911. There were other signs that decision-making was becoming difficult. But switching to assisted living, including daily food service and as-needed care, would have cost about $6,000 a month. So Tyner moved in with her family and now pays $500 a month for three caregivers 5 days a week.
Just making sure she's drinking water, getting meals, because that we started finding that that was necessary.
For Cook, having Tyner at home is the right thing to do. Her family has taken care of their elderly for generations.
I mean, we all kind of have our assignments in this generation. My cousins have their parents, and I mean, literally every one of us in my generation has an elder living with them at this time.
Like most of Southeast, Petersburg's population is aging faster than Alaska as a whole. A recent borough study shows that in about 15 years, seniors will double to 28% of the town's population. In the village of Cake, on the next island over, there are 80 to 90 elders out of a population of about 600. Most are Alaska Native. Families take care of their elders at home until they need medical help and have to go off-island. Many families rely on in-home caregivers.
I think living at home is what they want the most. They don't want to leave their homes and go to assisted living places.
Juanita James is the site manager and cook at Cake's Senior Center, which provides lunch and rides around town.
They'd rather have their loved ones close by that don't have much more time to live.
They thrive better at home.
Keith Smith works for Southeast Alaska's Independent Living's Ketchikan office.
And I think that people live longer, their mind stays healthier when they are able to stay in the midst of their life like that.
SAIL is a nonprofit resource center that helps seniors and people with disabilities live at home and maintain independence. It has offices in Southeast's larger communities and also serves more remote towns. SAIL helps clients problem solve.
One of the gentlemen I'm working with is just like overwhelmingly happy when he discovered the device that from 3 feet away you can clip your own toenails. That is huge for him.
For Cook's family, it meant moving to a house with an open floor plan and remodeling a bathroom. Although Tyner is mobile right now, there's plenty of room for a walker or a wheelchair if it's ever needed.
How are you? How did it go?
It went good. I was the only one who showed up.
That's good. That shows you're the same.
Cook's 18-year-old daughter, Shawnee, arrives home from an evening workshop at school on financial aid for college. The teen's 1-year-old is already asleep. Shawnee says it's great her son can live with his great-great-grandmother.
He knows that she's the person to go to when he wants something to eat.
Yeah, he will. I'm trying to teach him a little bit about dancing.
Also sharing space is Cook's partner and her two sons, ages 14 and 20. It's not always easy. Tyner's dementia crops up every now and again. But at least for now, the family agrees it's better for everyone to be sharing life under the same roof. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.